When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another unforgettable installment of In Bed with Nick and Megan, starring the magnificent Mr. Nick Offerman.
Good evening.
And his poor, poor wife, Megan Mullally. Today, featuring literally my idol, Miranda July.
Woof!
Miranda, hi. I know I accosted you at a function once and made you stand there and listen to how great I think you are for about 30 solid minutes, which is never fun. So thank you for letting me do that.
I only remember the negative stuff that you said, which is just how my brain works.
I did call you a dirty whore at one point. So I'm really,
for me, it was like a traumatic experience. Although I realize it was like 90% positive, 10%, but all I can recall is the point.
Look, a little constructive criticism never hurt anyone. Why are you so sensitive?
I just remember you saying some kind of nice gibberish and then saying, so what's your deal with not knowing how to pose for pictures?
Did I really say that?
Yeah, and I was like, she's like, you said, like, you always look so uncomfortable. And I think I was like, well, I am. I don't know how to do it.
That's oh, my true. God. Yeah. That's
so
amazing.
I often think of you when I'm having my picture taken, thinking like, well, this is could surely only be better, only be more uncomfortable than the
oh,
ones
no.
from before.
Well,
no,
I'm
don't
sorry.
Worry about it.
I apologize.
Now I know how to like shake it out.
You're a beautiful woman and you have a killer fashion aesthetic and you're very cool. So
I've got that.
All you need to do is be in front of the camera in order for it to look amazing. You just have to be there.
I asked for this. I started us out with like, you have to redeem yourself. I'm wearing the headphones on only one ear, by the way, because I can't hear myself because my headphones are so good. So is that what you're doing now?
Well, normally we would do this in person and you would be in our bed with us. But because of our quarantine, we're not doing this. However, now I'm aflame wanting to know what every single book is on that bookshelf behind you. I literally wish you would take photographs and send them to me.
What if we do a performance art episode where you and I make ambient sounds and Miranda just calmly reads each book and
each
author.
Book title? Yes.
Yeah. They're also in front of me. There's a shelf in front of me. I could just start reading them. Yeah.
Okay. Please do.
That'll be the whole episode. So anyone who wants to jump off now and click on another episode.
I have four books here, all written by Miranda July. I fancy myself to be an incredible erudite snob when it comes to books. And your four books, pre-ordered the fifth, are four of my all-time favorites. And they hold a place of honor on my bookshelves, along with my other favorites. And your novel, The First Bad Man, is literally one of my all-time favorite novels.
Oh, good.
But like with Lolita and, you know, The House at Pooh Corner and other classics of literature. I'm so excited that you've now compiled everything that you've, like all of your pieces, but not just, what is your new book that I've pre-ordered?
Right. I realize this is audio, so this doesn't help, but like I'm showing it to her now.
A sneak preview.
Here it is. You don't even have to order it now. I'll show you the little thing. I just kind of went through chronologically and just included almost every single project.
Email. Art installations and everything is in there.
Performances, yeah, and audio pieces, all different things. Because I realize most people, most people know like the books and the movies, and those are the most accessible works. But for me, you know, just because no one saw the interfaith charity shop that I made,
yeah,
doesn't mean it didn't take just as much effort, you know. And that's fine. Like, I obviously like things of different scales and different audiences. One's not better, but it did seem like, well, maybe it's interesting because they all flow into each other in terms of my life, to show those. Like, maybe now I'm old enough that I could have a book like this without it seeming ridiculous. And the whole thing is narrated by my friends and collaborators. So it's kind of like an oral history type book, because I got a little worried that like people who knew my work but maybe didn't necessarily buy art books would buy the book and see the boring essay by the curator that's always in a book like this and be like, skip, and be sort of disappointed that there was just basically sort of a picture book and not that those essays are always boring, but I really wanted it to be like a good read. You know, I think the like show person in me was like, can't have them bored for a second, you know? And so it's, I kind of modeled it after, probably on the shelf. You know that book Edie by Edie, about Edie Sedgwick? Did you ever read that? That was like all those oral histories. I read it in high school, and I mean, Edie did like almost nothing and then died. So she was just like very beautiful and rich and part of Warhol's, factory. But I thought like, well, if they could do a whole book on her short life, you know, maybe I could pull this together.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah, because I know about some of your things, like your the charity shop that you opened in Selfridges, right?
Yeah, in London.
Yeah, but I'm dying to see more. I feel like your Instagram account is verges on pure performance art. It's so sometimes great. Your whole series that you've done with Margaret Qualley. I don't know if you know about this.
No, I don't. Fill me in.
Well, you know who Margaret Qualley is because she was on The Leftovers and other things that we've liked.
Yeah.
So she, in the world of this piece, she and Miranda have been in a long-term committed relationship. And it's been pretty fraught. They have a lot of fun together. They dance and they carry on, but they also, there's some, they've had their troubles.
This is so interesting. Like, it's not, this is a take I haven't, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Don't so worry. This is my take on it. Yeah. And then it's culminated in them having a commitment ceremony. Was it called a Hazion?
Hazion Circle.
Hazion,
you know,
Circle.
Nick, the old Hazion.
Yeah. Sure. Which they wrote and
Jaden Smith gave that to us.
Oh, really?
Did you miss that part?
Okay, yeah, I missed that part. Okay.
Jaden came in and was like, hey, I know this ceremony for impossible loves. We're not able to be together. Like, it's more of an affair.
Yeah.
And so ultimately we do Jaden's ritual. We actually did it in here. Which involves like a silk ribbon and this circle of pennies. And it's just like as he explained it, it's like a ritual for like a love that can't really be, you know, that can't culminate or consummate or exist in the world.
Yeah. It's so amazing. And it's made me really like want to know a lot more about Margaret Qualley too.
Qualley. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. It's so good. You have a lot of incredible things like that on you're always posting little pieces. One of my favorites was when I don't know where you were, but you were somewhere where there was like a little cubby hole way up by the ceiling. And you climbed up and got into it. It's like this little hole in the wall, but way up by the ceiling. And she gets in there and just stays there.
Yeah, that was a real, you know, when, like, not to sound super snobby, I've stayed in all different kinds of hotel rooms, but I think this was actually for the Selfridges project, like, because every other time I'd come out, they happened to be kind of beautiful rooms or just sort of nice. I expected, you know, I kept coming from LA to London back and forth. And then this one time, and I didn't realize it was like Freeze Art Week, and it was just really hard to get a room. And so when I opened the door, I just kind of died. You know, when you're like, oh no, like this is, I've gone back like 20 years. And even then I would have been depressed here, but now I'm like a fucking asshole, you know, like my attitude towards it was so bad. And I did, you know, I said, like, is there any way? And they're like, you don't understand Freeze, or, you know, it just really just showed my provinciality that I was even thinking there might be a better room. And so I remember that morning being like, okay, there's something great about this room. What is it? Like, you're creative, like find something good and unique about this. And I literally just looked around and then I saw that cubby up there. And I was like, I'm going to fucking get in that. I don't know, you know, like I was just like, that'll make it okay. And in some ways it did, because like I got that piece out of it, and that's what makes me happy. That's what makes you feel okay. And in a hotel room of any level, you know, is making something that I'm always going to have, and that like kind of expresses in some very indirect way, like what I'm feeling right then. So yeah, after that I was like, I'm good. We're in a relationship, me in this hotel room. Just leave us alone.
Yeah. And there's an element of danger to it, because it was really up there. Like, you really like climb into it.
Yeah, it was dusty. I was quite sweaty by the time I got up there. I had to like really hike up my skirt. Yeah. Oh.
I love that story. I mean, I love the idea of, because I know that feeling well as a touring artist, when you depend on the comfort of whatever your lodging is. You're like, okay, I've done this, I have a system in place, so I'm scared about playing a show for an audience, but I know when I get to the hotel situation, comfort begins. And so when you are surprised with discomfort, there is a real asshole feeling of like, oh my god, I've become so soft. But I love that notion that whatever your circumstance is, if you look around, you just might find a strange cubby that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
So I just, before we start talking about, you know, current events and those kinds of things, I want to talk about your work a little bit more. So you have three films or three features?
I mean, I have one's about to come out.
Yeah.
Kajillionaire. Yeah.
Let's wait on that one because, Me, You, and Everyone We Know, though, was your first film. And I saw on your Instagram that it was put into the Criterion Collection. That's so badass.
I know. I was so psyched about that. It's sort of like the ultimate film fan award, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. And it's such a great movie. And The Future is another of your films, and it's also incredible. And then I know you've been working on Kajillionaire for so long, and you just had the premiere in January, and now we're all on lockdown.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with that?
Focus bought it. It's supposed to come out June 19th. There's a beautiful trailer that we're putting the finishing touches on. The soundtrack album is like, we like really went the distance on it. I think it's all going to be okay in the sense that, one way or another, people will see this movie. And I think it's a pretty okay movie for this moment. You know, I say this as someone who needs a perfect fit in terms of my psyche and whatever I watch, you know, like I'm very sensitive and, I think this one could be okay for now. It's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We've been talking about that because, in our world, we're not sick and we know people who've had it and, somebody who I worked with a few years ago, who was in his 80s, passed away last week from it.
Wow.
And the news is gruesome and terrifying and sad and all of those things. And yet in our world, everything kind of is going along day to day. And so it's easy to just be like, well, we just watched season 2 of Temptation Island, you know. But we have to bear in mind that even now, hundreds of thousands of people have died. And I mean, at this point, thousands of people have died. And people are dying and people are taking care of people who are dying. And so it's just hard to... Yeah. You know, everything is sort of relative to your own experience.
It's a strange tone to achieve.
Mm-hmm, right.
And at the same time, we're creating content that will hopefully alleviate some of the stress. And,
yeah.
I have thought, like, I remember watching one of these videos from a doctor, you know, and him sort of saying, your job, all of you out there, is to sustain, to be able to sustain staying apart and inside for as long as we need you to. We'll do this job, you know, we'll put these decide who gets ventilators, you do your job. And so I guess in these moments when we aren't reading the news and like getting the reality through our head, it is sort of our job to like care for ourselves so that we can do this potentially for a lot longer than we're even thinking, you know? And I guess that's sort of where I'm at now is like, okay, how do I sustain myself? Like, what do I need each day to do that so I can also sustain my family, you know?
Yeah.
And then all the people, you know, with their bleak, you know, you get a lot of bleak texts that are like, can you talk? And you're like, well, actually I can't. Like I'm not freaking out right this second. I could be okay to talk to. This is like a real week 3 approach. If you talked to me last week or the week before, I was definitely still in shock. And I think now I'm like almost kind of in the frame of mind I am when I'm shooting or something. You know how you get really like, here's what I eat, here's how I work out, here, yeah. You know, it's just like a real small focused world. And it, you know, it's not forever, but you know what it takes to be able to do your thing, you know. You
so
know what, you need.
What it does your world consist of right now, and what are the things that you, you know, need to do to stay on track?
Yeah, and I want to hear yours as well. I'm very curious as we're siloed. Let's see. I mean, my new thing is that I can write. You know, like the last couple of weeks, I've been like, who can write? Who can be creative? You know, not in this time. And like right now, my job normally would be to write my next novel. Like that's where my next paycheck is going to come from. And so now it's like I get to my office on the, it depends on which shift I have school wise, you know.
Yeah.
I write for 2 hours. I do my workout for half an hour, which is really, I've never done a workout alone where you like reading a list of things that are all like, I would never be able to propel myself this hard normally alone.
Yeah.
But I really like, if I'm not pouring sweat by the end, then I failed. And I really think that I'm like a Navy SEAL when I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I go home and do my shift, or I've started with that shift if need be. And then later in the day, I get another shift. This is all with the luxury of having my own. I'm in my office right now. So that's great. I've never been so glad to have this place. And then I do all my other work, which frankly is, it's normal. These are my normal priorities. I've just kind of reinstated them, and there's about half as much time because there's no school for the child. And then on the weekend, I do all the cooking, a whole bunch of cooking, and, you know, clean the whole fucking house and like mop while you're paying the regular house cleaner, which I think so much. I've never thought so hard about what we pay her and how it really could be any amount of money, I now realize, would be sort of justified. and then I microdose mushrooms, like sort of midway, and just like leave the responsible world for like half a day and the night and the night of sleeping. And then I find I'm kind of like reset to zero for the next week. I'm kind of like, have had a kind of an exhale and like a brain cleanse a bit.
Do you microdose only on the weekends or?
Yeah. It was something that the first batch I got was something I could have done almost at any time and not even remember that I did it. You know, I was actually taking them to help me sleep. But for some reason, the second batch is like a little more mushroomy, you know, which is fine. But I can't do, I'm like completely useless. I'm not like tripping. I'm just like trying to like put away a fork. And then it's like 3 hours later and I'm like in the backyard with a fork, you know. So I've learned to just like, if I can declare like a zone of sovereignty to just like lie down and listen to music or whatever. Yeah.
That's good.
That sounds really good.
You know, we doing this because we're doing podcasts all week.
Right.
So we're doing like 3 a day basically.
So you're able to compare my system with other people's systems?
No, not, we haven't gotten anybody else's system. So you're in a category of your own, but it's really helped to, it feels like a social life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was having Nick is, I think, for the first time ever really experiencing symptoms of anxiety that he's never really had before, like having trouble sleeping, having weird dreams and feeling weird, just feeling spacey and off. But I had been, I had had a bad fall and winter, like something anomalous had happened to me and created a bad situation for me in terms of my anxiety. And so I had had my first panic attacks just within the last several months. And then I had been working really hard to get better. And I had actually gotten, felt much better. And then 2 weeks later, this all happened. And I still feel like I'm better than I was, but I was starting to get a lot more, you know, anxiety and that kind of thing. And then since we've been doing the podcasts, I feel like that's lifted a little bit. So I'm going to take that to heart. I, even though I had been, you know, really in touch with a lot of my friends and stuff and making a point of doing that, I think there's something to be said for having a visual rather than just texting or something like that. It helps. But we, what have we been doing? I mean, we've been doing this all week, but basically we...
Well, the funny thing is we had just... this because we get to like travel and do different exciting jobs, you know, like go on tour to Australia or go shoot a TV show in London. For us, and because we both get to be busy like that, we have to call out vacation time, usually at least a year in advance. We'll say like, okay, next January is ours. Everybody can go to hell. And then the most exotic thing for us to do is stay home and be boring and do like jigsaw puzzles and listen to audiobooks.
Three dogs, you know, hang out.
And do you
dogs.
Do that during, do you call out like January is our vacation time and then you stay home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
And we've got, you know, we've got a couple of puzzles working right now. And
wow.
Well, so the funny thing is that we actually have been preparing for this. Like this is what we do. Anyway, and
well,
so
that's very sweet.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have to learn to shoulder the unrest, the general ennui of the world.
Yeah,
just because it's weird, it's unnerving for everybody.
Well, and our downtime started on December 18th, so we've been doing this basically since December 18th.
You've been in quarantine since Christmas.
including a pretty hardcore road trip with all three of our dogs and then another couple of trips here and there.
And Megan, I have to wash my hands for 30 seconds before I can touch Megan. But that's just
anyway.
A household
just anyway.
Rule.
Yeah, yeah, just anytime. Yeah, so we, so, but we kind of, we're limiting our news intake because ironically, in the entire ramp up to this, we, specifically me, but then Nick by default, had been obsessively watching news, and now we're down to we'll watch for maybe a half an hour, an hour. We get so much of it on our phones anyway,
right?
But we'll just try to like Rachel Maddow it out.
I that was a this is that's part of my week three protocol actually is like you don't like you're not in charge of the death count, Miranda July. Like you don't need to know like each time it's updated. Like like you just need to know, like, okay, now we wear face masks out in the world, you know, like make it out of a scarf. Good. Good to know. And yeah, just the general tilt of things, but not, I mean, it's kind of like during, like right after Trump was elected in terms of like, I remember like not being able to stop, you know, like the horror show, like you can't look away, but you know, you're not. You can't sleep because of it. And I think, so now I'm on a very spare diet of that.
Yeah, we're rationing also. I agree because you need to know, you kind of get the bullet points. And then beyond that, there's not that much that we can really personally do about it at this moment in time, except, you know, as they say in Taoist thought, the superior man perfects his own sphere.
Right.
Because, you know, until you've kind of tried to make yourself in your own, you know, day-to-day world as best as it can be, you can't really help other people as to any great degree.
This Tao lady makes good sense.
She's really cute. Yeah. Real, real cute. So, and you were talking about reading. I haven't really been able to read. And I'm a huge, like I said, I'm a big reader. Yeah. And I haven't really been able to read for a while. But I'm getting now to the point where I've decided, okay, I'm going to start. I have a couple of graphic novels that are really good, like Chris Ware and Nick Drenazzo. And, you know, so I'm going to start with a graphic novel, which is weird for me because I've been listening to books on Audible. Uh-huh. So that's, I've listened to a lot of books actually, but I haven't been able to really read hard copy for a while because my focus was weird.
Yeah. I've been in a good run of reading my favorite books from my childhood, which seem to all be about orphan girls. And we're currently reading The Little Princess. Did either of you read that?
Yes,
you
know that? I love The Little Princess. Yeah. Oh my God.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
It's so, and so my life has now gotten to the point where I look for, that's like the highlight of my day is us reading The Little Princess. And it's so, I mean, it is so dramatic, that book, you know, the turns of fortune and, you know, I just realized it is a little like Dickens light or something, mm-hmm. you know? It's great. So I'm actually like, have to really plan out what we're going to go to after that, because I guess the Secret Garden, because I don't, that's like sort of the linchpin of my whole life. Right
yeah,
now.
That's that book was very important to me as a child. I love that. Yeah. But I never read The Secret Garden, so I'm actually writing that down.
Yeah, it's a little less, it's almost like replace the thrill of interior decoration that happens in The Little Princess with the thrill of gardening, which depending on your temperament, you know, can be a little harder to get into. But I don't mean, you know, it's good. I'm going to get
what books, what other books did you read when you were a kid?
A big one that no one's ever heard of that we read before A Little Princess is Mandy. Is this? No.
Mandy.
Okay. Also about an orphan. She's very bereft little girls was kind of my Bible.
It's your stock and trade. Yeah.
Yeah. It weirdly, it's by Julie Andrews, Sound of Music.
Oh, wow.
Julie Andrews. Yeah. But it's great. I think my whole, like my husband was overhearing me read some of it and he was like, oh, wow. Okay. Actually your whole deal, your whole worldview can really be discovered through this book. Like it's just all right there. Like you really didn't evolve past this basic framework. of like, I will survive by living in a fantasy and maybe one day someone will save me, you know, will enter that fantasy and come and save me. Yeah.
It's not a bad way to go. I mean, come on. Anything else? Did you like mysteries or anything like that?
I think it's like, I'm now thinking of like Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. I think whenever I read those books, I was sort of like putting on a show. Like I thought it might look like cute if I was reading those books that were all, you know, but they weren't actually good.
I read all the Ray Bradbury books when I was a kid.
Those were great.
But I most, of course, remember The Illustrated Man.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about I hadn't thought of this for a long time since then, but I read the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew books. Is it Nancy or Nancy?
It's Nancy.
Nancy.
Yeah. No, you had it right.
And we had a series of books that was even predated that age wise called Encyclopedia Brown.
Oh yeah. No, he's after that.
Oh, he's after the Hardy
Brown
Boys?
Encyclopedia Brown is after. He's And we should pretend we don't even know who the Hardy Boys are. What boys are these?
Right.
These Hardy Boys. We only know about Encyclopedia Brown, who's like...
And his nemesis, Bugs Meany, I believe.
It's good those names stick with you.
Yeah.
At any given moment, you might encounter Bugs.
Yeah. I read all the Agatha Christie books when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
But my parents had all those Charles Adams Adam's Family, like all those. So I was kind of obsessed with all of the. That's how I think my first exposure to that kind of like dark humor.
Right. Yeah. My parents were very snobby. So it was, things had to be of a certain caliber, which is like actually pretty random. It just had to be that they had heard of it to like enter our house. Yeah. I end up feeling like I missed out on a lot of good things.
Where did you grow up?
In Berkeley.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love the California girls. There's so many good ones.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Los Angeles, but I grew up, you know, like kindergarten through high school in Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Nick grew up in a small town outside of Chicago called Minooka. Like basically a farm town, you know.
Wow.
And we have an age difference. Nick is much older, not really. And so even though his town was really different from Oklahoma City, they bear some similarities in terms of just the vibe and kind of the lack of anything to do and that kind of stuff.
Is there really an age difference between you two?
Mm-hmm. He's not 12, but 11 and a half years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe really... 11 and 5/8, if I'm being completely honest.
That's sexy.
It really is.
It's working out.
Mm-hmm.
So what kinds of things, like in a non-quarantine world, like what are your favorite dream things to do? Just any, even just simple things, you know, or not? Or, you know, traveling or...
All I ever want is to have finished enough of my work that I don't feel guilty and then be able to hang out with like one of two or three friends who are women alone. And I need the amount of time with them to be really long, like 5 hours maybe. And then we need to like talk about everything and eat a lot and have it be a kind of high low, like superficial topics and the heart of everything. And like usually there's crying and revelation and like that to me is sort of the gold. And and if you're having that and you've been doing your work, then it's like all is well. Well enough.
That's so great.
That is the best answer. That is such great specificity. And it's so true. Like, because that's such a weird thing. You can't, as an adult, you can't really ask for. Like, I want to feel comforted that I've got enough of my work done that I don't feel guilty. And then I get to spend about 5 hours with very good friends.
So good, yeah. That description just really hits the spot of the perfect time spent with a woman friend.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that too.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Now I want to know what you like, because I want to do all the things that you do. But I was so excited that, you know, you were doing the podcast, and I was so excited when we met. And, you know, I just really anyway, okay, enough. But yeah, it's really, really incredible.
And I really want to go to one of your girl parties.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I feel like you were going to be able to come to the one that was supposed to be.
Right.
Because I was, and then we had to cancel it because of this.
Yeah.
Because of the virus. But I think you would really
sounds great.
Because it's, especially hearing your definition of your favorite ideal thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be in your element at girls' night, because it's the thing that's so interesting to me, and you'll probably get this, is just that we're not sitting in a circle and, you know, talking about, you know, being raped. I mean, it's just a party.
Yeah.
Except it's all women. And yet by the end of the night, every single person is kind of in an orbit of ecstasy.
Yeah.
It's just really alchemical. It's been sort of the most, like, I'm very happy about it, because I wanted to do it for 15 years, and then I finally started doing it just this last year.
That's great. I get it. It's sounds like the greatest thing to me.
Yeah, it's
it
a really good
like
mix of people.
The best.
The people who go to it seem to have the greatest time.
What do you do on those nights?
He's been out of town when I've had him.
Yeah.
Been,
well, that's good.
Poor Nikki.
I have no complaints. I'm thrilled, and it and frankly, it sounds really powerful and gorgeous, and I'm really glad that they happen.
Yeah,
me too.
I'll happily, even if I was home, I will go hide in my cave.
So can I ask you some of your favorites in other categories?
Jeez,
like movies? Okay. I know, I hate it too. but if you, they don't have to be all-time favorites. We're not, nobody's,
right.
You know, they're not set in stone, but just whatever comes to mind is like favorite movies or.
Yeah, I know I'm not great. Like, I'm not a cinephile, so I.
Okay, well, then let's skip that.
I have my answers that I trot out, but they don't do me any favors, really.
Okay, well, then we'll skip it. What about books?
Yeah.
I mean, outside of your childhood favorites.
Yeah, I should be able, given that they're right here. Like, to be honest, like, you know, I'm writing right now, so I'm somewhat careful about what I read. And I'm reading, what is her name? I read a lot of Alice Munro when I'm writing.
Oh, yeah.
And also, actually, similarly, Frank O'Connor, the Irish short story writer.
Oh, I love, yes.
And, like, these are sort of, like, they're not, like, the hippest people in the world, but they're really good storytellers. And I think at a time when you don't want a ton of style in your mind, I mean, both have great style, but like if I'm reading Sheila Hedy or Lydia Davis or even Laurie Moore or someone like that, Rachel Cusk, like you kind of get, I love all those people, but it's a little,
some of my favorites.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Sheila Hedy, but I love Rachel Cusk.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And Laurie Moore.
But I read Rachel Cusk and I'm like, I am Rachel Cusk. Like I become, and she has that special trick. Sheila has that too, where you're like, well, this is easy. You just write, you just write whatever, whoever you were just hanging out with, you just write that down, you know?
Right. One of my all-time favorite books right up there with The First Bad Man is Can't and Won't by Lydia Davis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That kind of blew my mind, and I didn't read it until about 5 years ago.
Yeah. She's so great, too. similar though. You're like, gosh, and it only needs to be like three sentences.
Yeah, it's just it's and one I'm sentence. Golden,
you know, because she writes very, very short things. Yeah, and so I think the reason right now I'm in the kind of Frank O'Connor, Alice Munro world is just to have this sort of like base level of an understanding of what storytelling is, and the kind of surprises and twists of that. It helps me. I feel like I understand the ground I'm walking on. And then from there, I can be the, have the style or the invention, you know, like it, or try. Yeah.
Are you working on a book right now?
Yes. Yeah. That's, I'm writing a novel that always feels like it should be in heavy quotes. Cause like
so
what?
Hoping. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm but so excited.
Early days, but I try to alternate between a movie and a book because otherwise it'd be too long. they all take so long that you're like, oh gosh, am I even still a writer if I don't write another book now, you know? So you don't want your membership card taken away.
It's so great that you can do so many things so well. I'm trying to look on my little
list. You're going to have to go back through and cut out all this praise. You make sure that happens.
No, right? I can't because I want people who don't understand. I want to convert as many people as possible to my
cult. Are you looking at your phone?
I'm looking at my phone at my
she loves me, lists. But like I don't fully hold her interest. Like,
yeah. I'm texting someone right now. Can you just hold on for a second? I'm looking at my list of books because, I don't know. We don't need to. Have books that I want to, that I want to send you just in case on the outside chance that you have it. Well, like I said, I'm listening more than hard copy reading right now, but one of the books that we listened to on our road trip that was really good was Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But, and I think that that you might like that one.
Oh, right. And we all love George Saunders, too. That's a
point. Yeah, I was going to say George a minute ago.
I asked him for any special secret hellos, and he said to just say hi and that you're amazing.
Oh, gosh. That's nice.
So, did you read The Friend? Did you read that one by Sigrid Nunez?
No.
That's a goodie. I think you'd like that one.
Okay.
But I'm going to send you a little list of things because
you
probably read a lot of them. But because I read a lot of women writers, not on purpose, but just it seems like those are the ones I like the best a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It seems like they're good at writing.
Yes.
Well, there's so many good women writers now. Oh, my God. It's crazy. Okay, what else? Any other favorites in the world of the arts that we should, meaning me, know about?
Been listening to a lot of Angel Olsen.
Ooh.
You know her?
Good. No.
She's great. We could deep dive into that.
Okay. I love that in your ceremony with Margaret Qualley on Instagram, you have Sharon Van Etten writes the song for their ceremony, and it's called Holy Shit. It's so great.
She's great too, and I was listening to a lot of her music and asked her if we could do this song in like 2 days. I just came over and just sat there and watched her, and every once in a while she'd turn and look at me and be like, this is really surreal.
did you know her before?
Not at all. I just DM'd her.
Oh, that's great.
She was like, yes. And I was like, there's a catch. Like, we need to be done like Wednesday. Yeah.
You listen you listen to music a lot. What other music are you into?
Now I see why you're looking at your phone.
I know. Well, I have.
Isn't it funny how like we don't?
Well, I panic when somebody asks me for a name.
I know,
and
right?
I blank. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, in this current playlist, The Kinks, Tyler the Creator, Sampha, Perfume Genius, Dua Soleil. Yeah, a lot of old stuff. Can, The Raincoats, Velvet Underground. Sabina, how do you say her name? Skubada? Skuba? Suba?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know her stuff?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And she's doing a lot of stuff on Instagram, a lot of live.
How do you, what's her last name?
Scibba.
I'm always looking for stuff for the band because we do all covers. So
oh, right.
I always like to get new people going.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
All right, what haven't we talked about?
I would ask you just, you know, outside, the image I have of you is this, like, consummate, you know, visionary. And so I'm curious if you have anything in your daily life that is your obsession or your jam that's not associated with the arts. Like, do you have a fascination that's more surprising than all?
I mean, not surprisingly, clothes, right? I love clothes. And I always think of that as like just a pure pleasure thing. And
you're a big vintage person, which I love too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can definitely like fall down an eBay, Etsy wormhole looking for a certain, often I just like, I'll start out with like YSL vintage women's suit small, you know, and then I'll just kind of go like something that you're really just not going to find, although I have, and then go from there, you know? and then, I mean, the truth is I have, I always want to watch, like, the trashiest thing.
Like what?
So in this book, the monograph, my friends kind of had free reign with what they wanted to say. But then, of course, I got to decide whether I wanted to go to print, right? There's one that I, down to the last minute of it being printed, I like went back and forth on this friend who's like, we're not even really friends anymore. So I think she was a little bit just wanting to like tell the world who I really am, you know? And she writes, what she really enjoys is the most base thing. Like when we were younger, she liked to come to my apartment and watch a reality show and read the shittiest magazines like Us and People. Or for her birthday, what she wanted was for us to see He's Just Not That Into You. She loves the mundane, sort of shallow nonsense thing that's so removed from the kind of thing she writes. So I guess that's,
Well, when I said that right we just watched season 2 of Temptation Island, that's true. And
right.
I'm afraid I must insist that you watch Temptation Island.
Okay. I know I'm not good with the long, like I'm better at a movie than at an ongoing.
Yeah. Did you see that documentary this last year called Honeyland?
Oh no, that was.
Oh gosh, I think you would really love that.
It's really good.
Yeah. It was nominated for an Academy Award in two categories. So it was nominated for international film and for documentary.
Right, I noticed that. Yeah, it was Neon.
Yeah, it's so good. I think it's nothing like anything that I've ever seen before or even really imagined particularly. And it's so unforgettable because of that. And then the one that won this year is great, American Factory.
Right. Yeah, oh, I know. Really we're good. We have some problem whereby if it's a screener, which is all movies, you know,
yeah.
It somehow become like we just can't open that box with the screeners. Mm. I don't know what happens there.
Yeah. Well, you can get these just, they're streaming, you know.
Yeah, now they're streaming and now therefore we can watch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of your own volition. That's
yeah, exactly. That's it. The screeners... We can pay to watch them. We just want to pay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it's been so, so nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Really nice.
What a treat.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, this was very social for me.
Yeah, this is huge. Yeah, yeah, it's good for our souls. Well, you've been listening to In Bed with Nick and Megan featuring the incredible Miranda July. Good night.
Good night. She might call me
a Pollyanna. In Bed with Nick and Megan is an Earwolf production. It's produced by Megan Mullally, Kevin Bartelt, and Michael Landry. Executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon. Music by Nancy and Beth, which can be found at www.nancyandbeth.com. If you enjoyed In Bed with Nick and Megan, make sure to rate it and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite, too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.